grace, which is God's undeserved love. Mercy, which is God withholding the punishment that we deserve for our sins, and peace, which is that state of heart and mind where things are right between us and the holy God. Those are yours. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Amen. Sisters, brothers in the faith, I've heard it called our theme song, our anthem, even our battle hymn. Although I have to say that last description seems a little bit dramatic. But as I travel around the country for our College of Ministry, Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, I've heard people refer to one hymn in our hymnals with those descriptions. Hymn 293, God's Word is our great heritage. Now I imagine most of you have that hymn memorized. Since we're so good at singing a cappella, we could probably sing it this morning together. If the box that I sent to Resurrection had actually arrived, you would have a little card like this that has the hymn printed on it. But to get it back into our heads and into our hearts, let me just read the familiar words of God's Word is our great heritage. God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life, it guides our way. In death, it is our stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its teachings pure throughout all generations. Wouldn't you agree that this hymn about our great heritage answers two basic questions, and it has two basic thoughts wrapped into the hymn? First of all, it answers the question, what do I do with the Word of God in my personal life, in my life as a follower of Jesus? And then the other thought is, what do I do with the Word of God in relation to those around me? Now think about the refrains or the thoughts in the hymn. What do I do with the Word of God in my life? Through life, it guides my way. So that, yes, even in death, it is my stay. And my prayer is, Lord, throughout my life, help me to keep its teachings pure. What do I do with the Word of God for those around me? Well, I want to make it my chief endeavor to spread its light from age to age. Now, whether you consider this the Wells anthem or our national church body's theme song or not, all of our congregations have those two basic thoughts incorporated into their mission statements, right? To be in the Word together and to share the Word with others. But now I have a serious question for you. How are we doing? Living out our great heritage. As individual followers of Jesus, as Resurrection Lutheran Church, as the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, how are we doing living out our great heritage? Well, there's some positive signs. The Word is very important to us. And yes, I think it's in all of our hearts, that prayer, Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its teachings pure, most certainly. But, and I can only speak for the guy here in the pulpit, does that Word guide my way in all that I say and think and do? I fall short of that, don't I? And is spreading the light of God's Word really my chief endeavor? The one thing I want to do with my life? I get distracted by a lot of things, don't I? A lot of the things of the world, ideas of the world, things that Mike wants instead of that Christ wants. Yeah, we come to a holy God this morning to confess that we fall far short of our great heritage. But we've come into the presence of a holy God who pardons us, declares us not guilty in his sight because of his son Jesus, who lived a perfect life in our place without sin, and who went to the cross as the full payment for all that we have done contrary to the will of a holy God. And so as we leave this sanctuary this morning, we will be empowered, we will be renewed to live out our great heritage, to let the word of God be heard, to let the word of God be heard among us, so that we continue to call upon the name of the Lord, to let the word of God be heard through us, so that others can call upon the name of the Lord. As Pastor Hagen said, we're going to direct our attention to the second scripture lesson from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans from chapter 10, reading verses 11 through 17. Throughout the sermon, I'm going to back up to those verses and read them again for you, but a little bit of introduction to this portion of scripture. That walked on water, the disciple that cut off the servant's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, bold, brash Peter. Do you remember what he wrote about the Apostle Paul? I can see Pastor Hagen, even with his mask on, smiling and nodding. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:16, he writes the same in his, all his letters. He writes things that are hard to understand. Now, if Peter, one of the disciples and apostles of Jesus, thinks that Paul's words are hard to understand, where do we stand, brothers and sisters? But God the Holy Spirit promises to open our eyes and to open our hearts to the Word. Now, the first three verses of our second scripture lesson give us a great description of salvation. That calling upon the name of the Lord this morning to say to a holy God, I have no hope apart from you, apart from what your son has done for me. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. For scripture says, everyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives generously to all who call on him. Yet everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. That's the sweet gospel that we've come to hear this morning. That we won't be disappointed, we won't be ashamed when we call upon the name of the Lord. God keeps his word. And he wants all people to call upon the name of his son for forgiveness. Now, brothers and sisters, if it is through the word of God that we've been brought to call upon the name of the Lord, does that change our view of that word of God? Well, certainly does, doesn't it? Then we don't have the, oh yeah, that's that word, you know, I got to get that once in a while kind of attitude. No, then it's the word must be heard. My salvation is tied to that word. To let the word of God be heard among us so that we continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Now let me connect that to the reason I'm at resurrection here this morning. I come to you on behalf of our College of Ministry, Martin Luther College. Yeah, it's a long way away from here. Since we have some former students, they can testify to that fact that it's a long way from here. But why is that school important? Why would I come all that way to talk to you about that school? Why is it important to have pastors and teachers and staff ministers trained well in the Word of God? Because the Word has to be heard clearly in its truth and purity so that we continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Why do I come here and ask for your prayers, ask for you to encourage young men and women to consider ministry? Why do I ask for your continued support through your congregational mission offerings, as Pastor Hagen mentioned? Those regular, proportionate, and joyful offerings that you bring to Resurrection, and Resurrection in turn gives a portion to the work that we do together as a national church body, so that we have well-trained pastors and teachers and staff ministers, so that, brothers and sisters, the word continues to be heard among us. I want to take you back for a couple of minutes to the four rhetorical questions that the Apostle Paul asked in our second scripture lesson. Now, as I read these questions for you, don't think about anybody but yourself. Think about these four questions in connection with your faith and with your salvation. So then, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? Understand, how would you answer that? If you didn't believe in God, would you be here this morning calling upon his name for salvation? Well, no. And how can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? So understand the logic here. If you hadn't heard about him, would you believe in him? Well, obviously not. And how can they hear without a preacher? So would the word have been brought to you where you could hear it to believe it if no one brought you the word? Again, you understand where he's going with this? No! And how can they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good things. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm sure for many of us, it was a mother and a father, a grandma, a grandpa, aunt, and uncle who brought us the word. And that's a wonderful treasure. But I also want you to think of those called workers, those pastors that confirmed you, those pastors that taught you the word, that preached to you for years. I want you to think, if you had the opportunity to attend a Lutheran elementary school, some of those teachers, or if you had an opportunity to attend an area Lutheran high school or one of our two prep schools, what a difference that word being heard made in your life. Again, that's why I ask for your encouragement, for your prayers, for your support of our ministerial education system, so that the word would continue to be heard among us, so that we call upon the name of the Lord. But there are some warnings in these verses. A great reminder, this is how God brought us the word. But he goes on to write, the Apostle Paul, but not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who believed our message? You know the sad story of God's Old Testament people. What did they do? They stopped their ears. They had stiff necks, as God says in his word. They refused to listen to the word, and they lost that covenant relationship with the Lord. What a warning for us as we think of the word being heard. So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. That's the key, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's why we want the word to be heard. That's why we come to hear the word. That's why we tune in, whether it's online. That's why we have our meditations, why we get devotions, why we come to Bible class, why we are in the word. Because faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word. But now let's think of the word not only being heard among us and how important that is. Let's talk for a moment about the word being heard through us. It's worth pointing out that only God, the Holy Spirit, can bring someone to believe in his Son and God's Son and to call upon the name of the Lord. But again, you see the theme running through these verses. He uses human messengers. All right, let's go back to those four questions. Now it's okay to think of those folks out there. Now it's okay to think of the friends, the relatives, the associates, the neighbors, as we say, those around us who need the word. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? Well, again, they can't. And how can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? Now, this is something that's
bothered me recently as I travel for our College of Ministry. I run into people who will challenge this and say to me, "Wow, Pastor, if somebody hasn't heard about Jesus in the United States, then it's their own fault. They didn't want to hear about Jesus." I'll tell you, as I travel, airports here and there, motels and restaurants, there's a lot of people that don't know about Jesus. Oh, they know there was this dude named Jesus. Many of them think his last name's just a swear word. But don't assume that people in our country today know the truth about Jesus as revealed in God's word. Not at all. But how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good tidings." Yes, the word needs to be heard, not only among us, but also through us. Now, when you put your shoes and socks on this morning, or some of the ladies, maybe you're not wearing socks, if you have, that's pretty cold. You probably have socks on. When you put your shoes and socks on this morning, did you look at your feet and say, "Man, those are some good-looking feet"? Or I guess most of us men probably said, "You know, I need to trim my toenails." Maybe some all women say, I need a pedicure. I need to paint my toenails." But as I stand in front of you this morning, I see some beautiful feet. This image here of beautiful feet. Now, the Apostle Paul is quoting Isaiah when he brings in this idea of beautiful feet. And most Bible scholars envision it this way. When there were no cell phones and no email and there was no regular snail mail, how were messages delivered? Well, a person literally ran with a message, maybe from Jerusalem to the cities in the Holy Land. And the other image that people have noted is in the Holy Land, there's a lot of hills and mountains. And so you would see the runner coming at a distance. He'd say, "Wow, those are some beautiful feet coming down the hill toward our village or toward our town. They're bringing some good news." Maybe to declare a feast or to declare a great victory that King David won or King Solomon won or something like that. Now, it's hard to illustrate this when you're in Ohio. A little bit flat here. Now, 3 weeks ago when I was in Boise, Idaho, I could point outside the church window and say, "There they are, the mountains. Imagine a messenger coming with beautiful feet." But believe it or not, there's a place flatter than Ohio. Midland, Michigan. I was there last week, and that too was a little, you know, they had a little bump in the, little landscaping bump in the parking lot. I could say, "Imagine somebody coming down that big hill over there." But the image here is that as we live for Jesus, as we live for him in our daily lives, we have these beautiful feet. Wherever we go, we carry the good news about what he's done for us. And we share that message with others. And again, that allows me to connect this message to our College of Ministry. There are 1,400 feet at that school, round numbers, preparing to go with the good news. Currently, you don't have a student from Resurrection, but maybe soon. So I would guess that most of those 700 students are strangers to all of you. Maybe you know one or two of them, but let's just assume you don't. There's 700 students, men and women, preparing for ministry. There's 1,400 pairs of feet being prepared to walk into pulpits like this, to walk into classrooms and early childhood centers, to walk into area Lutheran high schools across the country and across the world. You are helping prepare them, that the word will be heard through us. When I have the opportunity to thank you, to thank individuals, to thank congregations, I definitely take it. And all I can say this morning is thank you. Thank you for supporting your College of Ministry. Continue to pray for us. Continue to be recruiters for us, that there would be many more beautiful feet carrying the good news of Jesus. Is it our battle hymn? Is it our theme song? God's word is our great heritage? I would say that for most of us, it's a familiar hymn. It expresses familiar thoughts that are incorporated into the mission statement of almost every congregation. Why do we exist? To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. What do I do with the word in my own life? Through life, it guides my way. In death, it will be my stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, I keep its teachings pure throughout all generations. Take that thought in your heart today and in your head today. Brothers and sisters, let the word be heard. Let the word of God be heard among us, so that we continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Let the word of God be heard through us, so that others can call upon the name of the Lord. Amen.